Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 15th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we have a conversation with Steve Callender, the Eastern Regional President for Caesars Entertainment, on how the merger of Caesars and Eldorado impacted the Atlantic City properties during the lockdown. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by FSB, the industry's leading sports betting solutions and technology platform. For more information, visit fsbtech.com. When the COVID-19 lockdown began in March, Steve Callender had oversight of just one Atlantic City property, the Tropicana. When it was over in July, he had added three others, Caesars, Harrah's, and Bally's, as a result of the closing of the purchase of Caesars Entertainment by Eldorado. Callender, a longtime Atlantic City executive, explains how he navigated the lockdown given the certainty of the merger and how they planned to slowly reopen to full capacity. This interview will be part of a feature in the September edition of Gaming Law Review, where a panel of AC leaders discusses the lockdown and its impact. Callender spoke with me from his Atlantic City offices in August. Steve Callender, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. Thanks for taking the time, Steve. It's great to talk to you. We go way back in Atlantic City, and congratulations on your new job as overseeing all the regional casinos for the Caesars Entertainment. That's a pretty good job, and probably something you're looking forward to.
Yeah, Roger, thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on, and I'm excited about the new Caesars and, you know, two great companies coming together to, do some, fantastic things.
I want to go over what happened, during the shutdown and prior to the shutdown, and also how you reopened. So let's start with the guidance that you got from the regulators when the shutdown order was given. How closely did you work with the DGE and then the commission at that point?
Yeah, very, very closely. They're great communicators, and they walked us through what they like to see happen. And, we've had to do this before, unfortunately, so, it was easy to get done. Everybody was communicating and coordinating together, so, it was seamless, really.
Yeah, I think New Jersey was fortunate in that we've been through that before, but mostly legislative problems, not as serious as this. So, but the fact that you've done it before was probably an advantage.
Right, Director Rebuck works very well with our organizations.
Sure, no question about that. So what was your strategy to stay in touch with your customers throughout the lockdown? At first we thought it was going to be two weeks or so, and it stretched out to be actually closer to 4 months. So how did you stay in touch with your customers during that time?
Yeah, we updated our website regularly, and, we kept some sales staff on to talk to folks and make some phone calls. We did a lot of emailing. Roger, a lot of people called us. We were probably fielding 4,000 or 5,000 calls a month while we were closed, the whole time we were closed. So,
sure.
People were interested when they were going to be able to come back to enjoy their time here. And we did our best to communicate with them, and that was really the best way to do it.
Sure. Was there any interest in online gaming at that point? I know Tropicana has a great site as well as the Virgin sites. So did you have any discussions about that with your clients?
We did. We made that available, and actually our numbers went through the roof. And they continue to stay strong. Even once the bricks and mortar reopened, our online numbers are very, very strong. People, gravitated that way. That hadn't before. And in the past, it is a great site, TropicanaEntertainment.com. But we didn't really see people going back and forth too much. You were either land-based or you were online.
Uh-huh.
And, now a lot of people enlisted into the online space, and they're doing well with it.
Sure, no question. So actually, more importantly for the internal operations here, how did you stay in contact and engage with your employees through this period?
Yeah, we have a portal set up for our employees so that they can call in and find out what the latest updates are, and we kept it intact and updated so that they could get information about, you know, what was happening here. We had a skeleton staff on board, obviously, you know, probably right around 100 people between security and surveillance and
right.
some of our tradespeople, and we were doing a lot of cleaning.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, as I said, you know, the reopening date kept getting further and further back. So how did you prepare for that, not knowing when it was actually going to occur?
Well, boy, it was difficult. You know, we kind of programmed out what we thought was going to happen and, you know, looked at numbers and had to keep changing things, unfortunately. And, you know, we had certain time frames we wanted to bring people back before we were going to be able to open. So, you know, we were guessing a little bit, you know, how to get there.
Sure.
But we just hung in there and did our best.
Right. Yep. So how much of a curveball was the no indoor dining stipulation that Governor Murphy added at the last minute right before you opened?
Yeah, that was a tough one. I'm not going to lie to you.
Right.
You know, we expected to bring back a lot more team members, and, you know, without food and beverage, it just, you know, became impossible for us. So, United here, Bob McDevitt and his team, they that was a big hit for them.
Sure.
We'd love to get those folks back. But, yeah, it was a big hit. You know, a lot of people, you know, they would come. I think they would come if they could, you know, eat, have dinner here and drink.
Right.
But, you know, I think it's hurt us in getting rooms back, people back. But you know what? We handled our protocols very well. We haven't had any major problems. And maybe it's just as well that we didn't have as many people. I mean, we're certainly not hitting the financial numbers that we were hoping to or we need to. But the good news is, you know, we're doing things right, and hopefully, you know, we'll be recognized for that, and we'll get some, you know, at least some limited indoor dining or drinking on the floor at some point.
Sure, sure. So have you responded to that in terms of outdoor dining? I know you've got some nice decks, some pool areas. Have you set up outdoor dining up there?
Yeah, we have. You know, over at Harris, you know, the Gordon Ramsay Steakhouse is doing a fresco under the stars on
right.
the pool rooftop at Harris, which is terrific. And, you know, Bally's has Guy Fieri rooftop chops. So, you know, that's working out well. And we're using the Chelsea pool deck here at Tropicana that we can feed a lot of people safely and, you know, distance. So that's working out good. And we have, because of the boardwalk, you know, our partners are, you know, Chickies and Pete's and Hooters and George Siganos and Casa Taco and Tony Luke. So, you know, initially it was tough. People had to wait quite a long time to, you know, get a seat. But as more places have opened across the city, we're finding, you know, the ability to take care of people, more people, and get them fed. So it's helping us increase our numbers a little bit.
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, the casino environment is really totally unlike it was previous to the shutdown. How have your customers responded? Well, have they kind of gotten used to the stipulations now and the, you know, every other slot machine turned off, that kind of thing?
Yeah, they have, and you know, it's difficult, but actually, they're kind of helping us. You know, I mean, if you walk by them, they'll say, "Hey, that guy over there, he pulled his mask down." You know, so they're letting us know what's going on,
right.
And we want to keep everybody as safe as possible. So, you know, we're following our protocols. Our team is on board 100%, and guests are, you know, they know it's not normal.
Sure,
but you know, they want to be here and. And they're doing their best to enjoy themselves.
Right. So how are you planning for the future in terms of spacing out the slot machines? I know, you know, at both Tropicana and Caesars, you know, you've already started to reduce the casino floor size even before this started. Are you bringing up plans to like realign the slot machines and things of that nature on the casino floor?
Well, we've done some of that just because we want to make sure we have as many games that people want to play as possible.
Sure.
So we had to move some games around. So obviously, some games are more popular than others. We're taking all that into consideration. You know, going forward, you know, since we got the deal done, you know, we have made an agreement to spend a lot of capital in the Caesars and and Harrah's and,
sure.
and Tropicana properties. So the plans will be taken into consideration as we, you know, figure that out and decide what we want it to look like.
Sure, absolutely. So entertainment obviously is off at all shows, at all casinos, but you know, that was always a big part of Caesars and Tropicana and Harrah's for that matter. So do you have any idea of how that will return in terms of, you know, when they allow, you know, 25 or 50% occupancy?
Yeah, you know what, that's a great question. And, you know, we'd love to get entertainment back. It's so important. It's vital to us, to our success. And, we're actually looking over at Harrah's, maybe doing some outdoor entertainment.
Sure.
And, you know, so we have a lot of space over there.
Right.
But a place like Caesars and Tropicana, it's going to be a lot more difficult. And
right.
And so we're doing our best to, you know, plan things out and hoping that we get to a point where, you know, we can step in and have some social distancing in our showrooms if, you know, we get that opportunity.
Yeah, at Harrah's, you got all that great space behind the property, like next to the new convention center that you built out there. That would be a real interesting opportunity to put some entertainment out there.
Yeah, you know, you have to think outside the box
when
times like this come up.
So right.
We'll see what happens.
So New Jersey now seems to be one of the states where the pandemic has subsided a bit. How long do you expect to have to operate under the current stipulations before they start to be relaxed?
You know, frankly, I haven't asked anybody how long do we have to do this.
Right.
We just make sure that everybody's following the rules as best as they can, so that again, it's recognized by the governor's office, and you know, he feels that the numbers are going strongly enough in the right direction, you know, for us to get some expanded business, you know,
right.
so that we can have some limited dining and have some indoor, you know, food and beverage. So,
sure.
We'll just, you know, continue down the track that we're on, and, you know, we're always hoping for the best.
Right. So how did the deal between El Dorado and Caesars, which had not been completed, like, during the shutdown, it was only completed about a month ago now, how did that affect what were you doing during the lockdown?
You know what? It really didn't have any effect on us, you know, in the properties here.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm sure the senior leadership team was, you know, obviously working feverishly along with the Caesars team. To try to get the deal done, but I don't think anybody thought the deal was going to get done when we were all closed.
Right.
You know, we focused on our opening protocols and, you know, along with the rest of the properties. And, you know, this Casino Association, you know, we were meeting almost daily with our protocols to get to the point where the Division of Gaming Enforcement would be, you know, confident enough in what we proposed to take it to the governor's office. We work closely with AtlanticCare, who's our local health provider, and Unite Here to, you know, try to address as many issues as we could, so that, you know, we felt comfortable that, you know, we could open safely. And, you know, these properties are so big, and our HVAC systems are so robust, and we have so much personnel here from a security standpoint,
right.
from a cleaning standpoint, from a surveillance standpoint, that that, you know, they could trust that we could, you know, handle this without something terrible happening, and that's really what's going on. So,
sure.
Focused on what we could control, and that's what we did.
And it sounds like you know, most of the visitors and certainly the employees are you know, taking the protocol seriously.
Yes, they are, very much so, and I'm not sure if they're being respectful or they're afraid of getting sick. And
right.
frankly, I don't really care.
Right, either way,
you know, you know, we tell them, you know, mask up, and, you know, we get very little pushback.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, there's a one-off here and there, I'm sure, in every
right.
property. But for the most part, the employees and the guests have worked well together and done what we asked.
Sure.
FSB is more than just a platform. With more than 100,000 live sporting events traded by FSB teams each year, FSB has the experience to help you launch the most exciting U.S. sports betting operation. Built by experts with years of experience and powering some of the world's most successful brands, the FSB platform has been created to put you in charge of your business. FSB helps by creating online and retail solutions that are supported by an incredibly strong mobile offering with marketing, trading, payments, and all the other tools required to support a world-leading sports book. The FSB team is good, but their technology is great. And now back to our podcast.
So you mentioned that when the deal was completed, Caesars had committed to reinvesting in the Atlantic City properties, and Gary Carano, you know, admitted that, you know, over the past few years, Caesars hadn't put the money into the properties, that the capital reinvestment that was really necessary. So, but at the same time, now he tells me that he's going to leave, you know, a lot of the decisions of operations in the various casinos to the GMs and the people who are running the properties. So, are you going to have a lot of input on where the capital reinvestment is going to go once it starts to happen?
Yes, absolutely. Actually, Ron Bauman, who's the general manager of Caesars and Harrah's, and myself, we're actually working with Tony Rodio.
Right.
You know, Tony's is helping Tom, and that's the first thing Tom asked him to do was, you know, let's fix Caesars up and Harrah's and get in there. And you know, when I testified in front of the commission, it was easy for me. I mean, it reminds me a lot of what happened to Tropicana when I got here 10 years ago.
And, right, yep.
When we got money to spend, we took advantage of it and rebuilt the property. Tony obviously is a great visionary. He knows this market, and he has a great eye for detail. We systematically fixed things that we knew that would change the behavior of the guest and push us in the right direction. You know, financially as well as aesthetically. So we're going to do the same thing here. We're going to have to do it a little faster.
Right.
Frankly, the Caesars properties had already embarked on some plans for rooms. Obviously, rooms are, they're a given.
Sure.
There's some things that need to be done quickly, and you know, but there's, you know, sense of arrival and non-gaming amenities. You know, giving people reason to come to our properties. All of our properties in
sure.
Atlantic City, and we're looking to create experience. You know, I saw how powerful the quarter was here at Tropicana when I came to work
sure.
here, and you know, there's no reason we can't do that, you know, across the enterprise.
Yeah, you guys did such a great job after that Columbia-Sussex fiasco at the Tropicana and completely turned that around. And, you know, if you do half of what you did there at the Caesars and Harrah's properties, you know, it's going to be a huge success.
Well, Caesars and Harrah's are such great brands to begin with. It's a shame that the, you know, the company wasn't able to invest in them. But you know what? It speaks to morale for employees as well. I mean, you know, my sense is that when you start to spend money on a property, you know, your team members get more invigorated. You know what I mean? They want to be proud of where they work.
Sure.
And when it gets run down, it's difficult for people to come in, you know, with a smile on their face. And you know, we need those team members to build relationships with our guests and for our guests as well. We want them to have great morale. And I saw that here at Tropicana, and I'm quite sure, you know, we can recapture that very quickly at Caesars. And you know, Harrah's is in really good shape right now. There's some things that need to be done, and we're going to do them. You know, Caesars is really, you know, where we need to really get to work.
Sure. So, you know, in the deal for Bally's, you're going to retain the Wild Wild West part of Bally's, which really was the shining example of what you can do with a big space like that. You know, you've got the wonderful sports book that they built back there, which you know, cost quite a bit of money, and it's the largest in Atlantic City, if I'm not mistaken. So, what are you planning to do to increase the traffic flow in that area?
You know what, Roger, I'm really excited that we're keeping that space. When I went to work at Bally's, it had just been completed, and I loved it. It was really a cool space, right?
Right.
And, you know, one of the first theme, you know, casinos, if you will. So it was terrific. It is great space. We're going to build off of that sports book. We're thrilled now that sports is back to playing, and we think that'll, you know, get a start of what's happening over there. But that's one of the areas where we really have to dig down and figure out what we can put in there, because there's so much room that will make a difference in people and make them want to come there.
Right, right. Well, you know, Wild West has always been known for its fun atmosphere and good gambling rules. Is that going to continue as well?
You know, we haven't changed anything you know, right now.
Right.
We'll evaluate, you know, what they do and the people that that brings in and what the results are. We want to study it a little bit and then we'll make our decisions from there.
Okay.
It's a great space and we'll take, you know, good advantage of it.
Sure. So I just read the other day that the bill in the legislature that would give some tax relief to the casinos has been hung up. Is that a real crucial part that you guys need to really move forward in Atlantic City?
You know what? It really is, Roger. It's very important that this gets passed. You know, we've never had to ask for help before, but frankly, you know, it's a shame. We had great momentum going in town.
Yeah.
We went almost 2 years, you know, raising revenue every month, and obviously, online gaming and sportsbook were a big part of that, but momentum's momentum. And, you know, when you're doing well, you like to keep it going. Unfortunately, we got stopped. And we're going to have to spend in this in order to, you know, get our momentum back.
Right.
And, you know, people are playing somewhere else right now. So if we want to get them down here, we're going to have to spend a little bit more in the marketing end than we're used to. We certainly want to get more of our team members back to work. So, you know, that's important for us. You know, people come to these places because of relationships with employees. And, you know, when all the employees aren't here, that hurts us.
Sure.
You know, yep. People used to coming in and seeing folks that they know. They work in a variety of different jobs. They're not just hosts or executives. They're, you know, they're dealers and they're bartenders and they're guest room attendants and security people. I think it's crucial that we get some support in order to get ourselves back to, you know, the levels we were operating at before this happened.
Yeah, no question about that. So Joe Lupo was telling me that he's been really encouraged by the Atlantic City Casino Association, that you've done a great job of getting people, you know, all on the same page. And you know, as you know, that hasn't always been the case with the association, but he says you've been doing a great job. So what does that mean to you to really be able to communicate with all the other CEOs in town?
Well, it's nice of Joe to say that. And you know what? A lot of time leadership is about who you're leading, and
right.
They're a great group. You know what I mean? There's a lot of talent there, a lot of experience. You know, generally the Casino Association meets once a month, and sometimes that's just on the phone.
Right.
Well, in the midst of this, we were meeting almost daily. So
yeah.
I really appreciate everything they did. Bessie Sacco is legal counsel here, and she did most of the heavy lifting. Joe Dougherty was a big help for us. But, you know, the leadership in these casinos, they're strong, all of them. They all have great opinions, and it was really a team effort to get us through this. A lot of smart people, and it was impressive. But, and you know what? And again, you know, the commission and the division, everybody worked with us to try to get us to this point. And we were happy to get it done.
Great. You know, meetings and conventions have always been a big part of the Atlantic City business. I mean, the new convention center at Harrah's is spectacular. You know, you've got a lot of space at Tropicana. Caesars has a bunch of space, and not to mention the convention center itself. How long do you think that's going to take to come back?
Geez, I wish I knew the answer to that, because, you know, you're right. That's a big loss for us, and that's happening in Las Vegas as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, we're I wish I could tell you. That's one of the things that might have to, you know, wait for a vaccine to come along and be effective before we can get big groups back again. You know, we have a lot of those groups are repeat groups, and we have relationships with them. And, you know, initially, you know, we just rescheduled them, and, you know,
right.
Nobody thought it was going to take this long or be this, you know, to this level. So, you know, we'll stay in touch with those people. We'll work with them. You know, we're trying to be as, you know, as friendly as we can in terms of, you know, not burning bridges and making sure we at some point we get that business back. It's a great business for us, and the city's built for it. I mean, let's face it. You know what I mean? Especially with, you know, with Ocean Casino and Hard Rock, you know, reopening. You know, we have enough rooms in town now
sure.
that we can handle in big groups, and that hurts all of us, you know,
yeah.
not having that business. So
no question.
But we're all focused on it, and if the ability comes along that we can do it again, you know, we'll be all over it.
Sure. Well, Steve, thanks for the time. I really appreciate it. I'm coming back to Atlantic City in a couple of weeks for a while, so I'm looking forward to seeing the properties and how you guys are doing, and certainly love to stop in and talk with you again.
Please do, Roger. I'd love to see you, and thanks for letting me be part of this, and I appreciate all the support you give to Atlantic City over all these years.
Absolutely. Well, good luck, Steve, and we'll talk soon.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast brought to you by FSB, the industry's leading sports betting solutions and technology platform. For more information, visit fsbtech.com. To learn more about how the casino industry is responding from the COVID-19 lockdown, visit ggbmagazine.com. To get all the news of the gaming industry, particularly of the coronavirus situation and its impact on gaming, including daily updates, subscribe for free at ggbnews.com using the code GGB180. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on iTunes or Spotify today. So we'll see you next week on the GGB Podcast.